From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Friday, March 7th. Coming up, we'll learn how mass layoffs at the U.S. Department of Agriculture leave an uncertain future for researchers and rural areas. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Students in Champaign got a visit from Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker yesterday as he continues to promote a plan to limit cell phone use in K-12 schools. IPM's Emily Hayes has more.
Pritzker says under his proposal, each school district would create their own policy for cell phone use by the start of the school year in 2026. He says students would not be allowed to use their phones during class time, though there would be exceptions, like if a phone is needed to monitor a medical condition. Isaiah Allen is a junior in the Champaign Unit 4 School District, which banned cell phones in the classroom last fall. He says that approach strikes the right balance.
I'm from Florida, and they banned it everywhere. Like, you can't use it in the hallways or lunch from some schools. Some schools you can, but I think as long as it stays moderate like it is, then I feel like there's no problem with it.
He says more strict policies would force students to miss days of school through suspensions if they're caught being on their phone for even a few minutes. I'm Emily Hayes with IPM News.
The CU Stand Up for Science rally kicks off today at noon at the University of Illinois' alma mater statue. The march at U of I is part of a nationwide rally organized by Stand Up for Science. The movement is calling for the protection and expansion of scientific funding and opportunities. Sonia Tumchik is a U of I graduate student and local rally organizer. She worries how President Trump's attempts to freeze federal funding will impact those who aspire to work in STEM fields.
If we defund everything, we don't have dreams or hopes anymore. The impact on society as a whole is what worries me.
The Trump administration's halt on federal funding is currently blocked by federal judges. The two men running for Savoy Village president say they're committed to creating a new downtown and improving transportation infrastructure. IPM's Mary Piacenti has more from a candidate forum earlier this week.
Savoy's incumbent village president, John Brown, is running for re-election. He's being challenged by trustee Jan Carter Nickum. Both say that they want to create a village center and build new walking and biking paths. The village also plans to build an underpass for the Curtis Road railroad tracks. Federal funding would cover nearly half the cost, but Brown says losing those dollars could derail the project.
If we were to lose that project or lose that grant, I don't see how we would be able to continue with the underpass project.
Nickum says his main priority as village president would be providing tax relief to residents.
The parks and the bike paths and everything, yes, those are very nice. It's a nice amenity. But I also want to protect the pocketbooks of the residents of Savoy.
Savoy's municipal election is April 1st. I'm Mary Piacenti, IPM News.
The results of a contest to pick the new Illinois state flag are in, and the voters want to keep the current one. Mawa Iqbal reports.
Of the nearly 385,000 votes cast online, 43% of them were for the flag as it is now. State Senator Doris Turner launched the effort last year with the goal of adopting a new flag that represents the state's diversity. She says more than half of all voters did want a new design.
I don't know where those votes came from, if they came from Illinois, if they came outside of Illinois. That's why it's important that the commission finish their work.
A commission of historians, artists, and Illinois enthusiasts will review the results and present their recommendations to the General Assembly. The legislature will ultimately have the final say. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
Still to come, we'll learn how mass layoffs at the U.S. Department of Agriculture leave an uncertain future for researchers and rural areas. That story is coming up next on 217 Today, but first, your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Your forecast for today, cloudy with a chance of light rain, possibly mixing with snow at times and a high of 45 degrees, a south wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, light rain ending before midnight, otherwise mostly cloudy with a low of 28 degrees, north wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, sunny with a high of 48 degrees, a north wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, clear skies with a low of 29 degrees, a west wind 5 to 10 miles per hour, and for Sunday, sunny with a high of 56 degrees and a west wind 5 to 10 miles per hour.
Next time on the 21st Show, our Friday Week in Review. We'll talk about what's been making news around Illinois and recap Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson's testimony before a congressional committee. Plus, a new exhibit at the Illinois State Museum is aiming to bring new perspectives to its extensive collection of art. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on the 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 2 and 7 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has sharply cut its workforce. Employees and researchers across the country have lost their jobs, though the agency has not said just how many employees it's laid off. Among the impacted facilities is the National Center for Agricultural Utilization Research in Peoria. Commonly called the Ag Lab, it's where government scientists discovered the process to mass-produce penicillin. And as Harvest Public Media contributor Colin Shope reports, current and former employees say the layoffs will cripple research efforts that help farmers.
Jeannie Klein-Gordon is one of thousands of probationary employees across a swath of government agencies impacted by the Trump administration's efforts to reduce the federal workforce. She worked in ag research in Oregon and Michigan before moving her family to Peoria in 2023 to take a job with the Ag Lab. Her focus, to find ways to fight red crown rot, a newly arrived threat to the Illinois soybean industry.
I spent 11 and a half years getting to this position, and I got the position of my dreams.
In late January, the U.S. Office of Personnel Management sent the widely reported fork-in-the-road emails, offering several months' pay to federal workers in return for a resignation. Klein-Gordon says she wasn't interested, even after another email went out in early February, pointedly identifying probationary workers like herself. Then she says there was a meeting on February 13th, warning employees termination might be coming.
But nobody knew for sure whether it was going to come. And so we were like, okay, refresh your email. Okay, let's refresh your email. And it hit people at different times. And so I was like, did you get one?
The letter that probationary employees received on the evening of February 13th read in part, "The agency finds, based on your performance, that you have not demonstrated that your further employment at the agency would be in the public interest." And these letters went out to USDA research facilities across the Midwest. Dozens of employees were laid off in Ames, Iowa, at least 17 in Clay Center, Nebraska, and about a dozen more in Manhattan, Kansas, according to local reports.
The federal government has a system built where there is a year to 2 year period where the employee can be terminated fairly easily.
Ethan Roberts is the union president of Local 3247 of the American Federation of Government Employees, which represents more than 80 Peoria Ag Lab workers. He says probationary staff have fewer protections, but there's still procedures that should be followed.
It has to be for a cause. It cannot just be dismissed without cause.
The Trump administration has slashed the federal workforce across several agencies in what they call an effort to improve government efficiency. In a statement, a USDA spokesperson emphasized that newly confirmed Secretary Brooke Rollins supports the measures. At the Ag Lab, Roberts knows of 12 union employees and about 20 total employees who were terminated. That's more than 10% of the facility's staff.
There are projects now that are simply left hanging. There's no one to continue the experiments that were being performed. There was one unit that had half of its staff just suddenly cut. There's no telling what is going to happen to all of those projects.
Klein-Gordon was just starting an experiment when she was laid off. She has no idea what will become of the data or the project, but she knows her work had a direct impact on farmers.
I put what I felt was my heart and soul into my job and serving stakeholders, serving our growers and their best interests and their needs. And it is a slap in the face to be treated this way.
The American Federation of Government Employees, along with several other unions representing federal employees, say the layoffs were illegal. They filed suit February 19th. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Colin Shope.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Emily Hayes, Mary Piacenti, Mawa Iqbal, Stephanie Oriana, and Colin Shope. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a great weekend.